Wait, I don't know what I thought it was going to be.
What was that?
That's a single womp.
Yeah. Like...
We find it much more tragic.
Yeah.
We let the hogs have access to it and it's ruined our life.
Yeah.
A single womp like Clematis in Deserto, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One womp, the lone and level sands stretch away, you know.
A mournful, plaintive, singular womp.
It's tough out there for a single womp these days, you know. You ever been on the apps? Oof.
Yeah, man.
Those are
the guys that fall on Mario.
There are very few single womps in your area now.
It's true.
Well, it's because dentists hate them so much. Bio. Dentists have hunted the single womp pretty much to extinction.
Okay, so the womp is like an endangered African animal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
That was briefly like a colonial war against the womps that ended when they like weren't able to shoot them, you know?
You know what the best thing about the Cecil the Lion thing was? Was that the guy who shot him was called Charlie Palmer. Which is just very...
Yeah, host of TF Charlie Palmer executed a lion.
Why he got let go from TF.
Oh, wait, no, I think he was called James Palmer, which is Charlie Palmer's dad's name, but that's still quite fun. That was fun for us.
Charlie Palmer's dad killed a lion?
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I've heard it sourced now from like I've heard speculation on that basis.
Yeah, on knowledge and belief.
Yeah,
Charlie Palmer killed Cecil the Lion.
Yeah, I am hearing that, and he will have to do a notes app apology.
Potentially the last womp as well.
Yeah. The final womp.
We're reintroducing them. I don't know.
You walk into the study on the desk is a glass of whiskey and your service womp.
There's an island off Costa Rica which is just full of womps. Yeah. It's the last known colony of womps.
There's a shitload of them in like Southern America because of I've already forgotten the name of the drug dealer. No,
Pablo Escobar. Pablo Escobar. Oh,
I couldn't link them. I got 90% of the way with just the hippos thing.
It's El Wompo.
Ah, well, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's like a small colony on an island off Australia that were mistaken for rabbits by Dutch explorers.
You got to meet the quokkas. I was very excited. Mm. We had a long discussion in my household about how nice the quokkas are.
They are. They're fun little lads. Yeah. They are. They are a bit like rabbits. Actually, they're kind of like they're weird little guys.
Adorable little fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No fear of God in them.
No.
I'll walk right up to you.
Imagine if like the first guy you ever met was Dutch, you'd probably no longer fear anything.
That's true.
After that.
Any other guy rolls up and you're like, oh, thank God.
Just a more regular guy.
This is why the violent years of colonialism was so effective, because no one had any respect for the Dutch.
Yeah.
So they're like kind of showing up, and like the kind of sort of the local indigenous people are like, not scared of, like, not
as
scared
they're
of
actively killing
fucking,
your entire
yeah,
family
at,
you're like
look
yeah the fucking honk their, ball guys
look at their shoes look at look at these, they,
these
fucking
these guys can't possibly be that much of a threat.
Look at their weird water systems. So they've got a fucking armful of red flowers. No, I think this is oh my god they've got weapons. They have got a lot of weapons. We have misjudged the congruence between the violence and the hilariousness of our invaders.
In Bali, I had a really funny conversation with a guy from the Indonesian Tourism Ministry about the Dutch. It was basically a friend's birthday party who lives in Bali. And for some reason, he is mates with this guy who is like quite high up in the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, an Indonesian man, anyway. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he's telling me all this stuff about Indonesia, which is quite interesting. But then we started talking about Dutch colonialism, and he's like, well, you know, there's kind of a rivalry between the Indonesians and the Malaysians because we basically speak the same language. And he's like, but the trouble is that Malaysia is much more developed. And he's like, and the only reason I could come up with for this is that Malaysia was colonized by the British rather than the Dutch. And he's like, look, I'm not saying it was good being colonized by the British, but at least they built a few schools. He's like, all the Dutch did was steal our shit.
Show up.
So that's a review of Dutch colonialism.
Put all of your stuff in carts. Like, take it home. Build like one honkball field. Leave.
Hmm. You don't want the Dutch building you a school. They'll try and do it on a houseboat.
Yeah.
No, we'll build you a railway. It'll go from your most precious natural resource directly to a port. But we'll build a fucking railway.
It'll have gables all over it.
Yeah.
I learned
purely extractive.
I learned one crazy thing about Dutch colonialism in Indonesia, which is that unlike a lot of other colonial powers which wanted people to speak their language, the Dutch considered that like the Indonesians weren't worthy of speaking Dutch, so deliberately tried to prevent them from speaking it, thereby handing them the biggest accidental dub of all time. Imagine narrowly escaping your national language being Dutch. Looking back at me like, thank fuck.
Fuck, man. My boy ML is from the Gambia, and we give him shit constantly about his country getting colonized by the Polish. Like, man, what are you doing?
Just like the kind of joke colonialism that happens at the end when people are like, "Oh, we should have one." Like how there were like three Danish Caribbean islands, and it's what, just like
after you've paid a lot to get some family portraits done, and then you just do a silly one at the end.
Yeah. Just like, come on, really?
Getting colonized and losing all folk memory of how to change light bulbs.
Yeah, the Polish colonial authorities institute a school that teaches kids everything other than how to change a light bulb to try and exterminate
they introduce
the
light bulb, but they're like, we don't know what the fuck this is. This is a lost technology from our people. We're not sure. What
is that? Showed a Polish architect a light bulb. Said, "What is this?" I don't know. We don't know how to make these anymore.
It has a ritual purpose, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like Greek fire.
Speaking of ritual purposes, did you see the thing that the British Museum has an Irish thing? They don't know what it is.
Yeah, they got a thingy.
They got a thingamabob. Yeah, a doohickey. And so a bunch of Irish people on Twitter were like, listen, we don't know what this is, but you do have to give it back. And I think
and also don't open it. Whatever you fucking do not attempt to open it.
Yeah, it's the last horcrux of the Tato Man. He will escape and he will eat human flesh as we have feasted upon his flesh.
That also suggests, like, according to what a Horcrux is, that suggests that the Tato Man has killed before.
Certainly.
And 100%. Will kill again.
Holy shit.
It's like, no question.
Because, well, you know, there's a separate Northern Irish Tato Man as well, who I imagine
is
killed
under the
more.
Terms of the terms of the Good Friday Agreement require a kind of uneasy kind of relation between the two Tato Men.
This will be the last step of unification. Yeah. Will be the two Tato Men merge.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We dream live TV. They're gonna kiss. It'll be beautiful.
We dream of they're gonna fuck.
Yeah. They're gonna fuck.
While
two become one plays in the background.
Yeah. While that beautiful union happens, a greater, larger, beautiful union will be brought into being. And that's wonderful, I think.
Yeah.
It was weird that Jerry Adams tweeted all of this verbatim at like 3 a.m. But you know, he knows what he's about, and I respect that.
Yeah, and in like 2018 as well, like... This has long been the strategy. They've been coaching for this for quite some time.
Yeah, there's actually footage, like in a newly released documentary of like Martin McGuinness in the 70s with the Tato Man.
Yeah, it's why they dubbed out his voice in the 90s. It's because he wouldn't shut up about the merging of the Tato Men.
Every time they're talking about unification, they mean of the two Tato Men.
Of course.
Obviously, they're going to create a kind of Dauphinoise type situation. It's going to be impossible to distinguish where one Tato Man ends and the next begins.
So the Tato Man of Theseus.
Yeah, that's right. That's the thing about Theseus is he loved crisps. Very few people will tell you this. And of course, he was Irish, which is canonical to the 2004 movie Alexander by Oliver Stone.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Fuck, it is.
Do you think every country or like every culture that could become a country is granted a Tato Man? And just like Ireland and Northern Ireland were the only two that were like able to like exploit that to the fullness of having a like active Tato Man walking the earth.
What do you mean? Like every country has an Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what I mean.
Our Tato Man is obviously
so interesting. So interesting to tie that in specifically to the like the construct of the nation state.
Yeah, this isn't
like not every nation has a Potato Man, but every state does.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe it's like
he's a higher pointy,
maybe it's like no, every people is granted a Tato Man, right?
No,
and what a nation is a fusion of all of their Tato Men
I think it's every state. And this is how you end up with disputed territories. Yeah. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see the Kashmiri Tato Man.
No. All the Kosovan one. In France, of course, they've
West
got Long de Terre.
Okay.
That's him. He's pretty busy.
In a sort of secret session of the UN General Assembly, it's just a bunch of fucking Tato Men.
Yeah, he's the only Tato Man who's like flavored with red wine and garlic somehow. How did this happen?
Tato conference.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask the German Tato Man what he was doing between 1933 and 1945. You won't like the answer.
don't ask the Polish Tato Man what he was doing in the fucking Gambia.
Yeah. Desperately trying to be seasoned. Desperately trying to acquire any form of flavor.
Boys, we hear you guys have spices. Please.
Yeah.
We've been ready salted for decades, for generations.
Carp and dill flavored crisp.
Oh,
sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I could take
some.
My cousin has a Polish wife who is awesome. We love her. But as a result,
back, can't pronounce you man and Polish wife.
That's right. Back in the day, he used to go to Poland for Christmas, like every other Christmas, and he would just send us texts from this Polish Christmas about the food that were like the texts somewhat like, you know, when like Amnesty International published the letters they get from political prisoners in jail in Central Asia. it's kind of like we'd be like FaceTiming him and we're all like eating turkey sandwiches and he'd be like, I hate you so much. I've eaten raw minced beef. I've eaten carp that was being kept alive in the bath. they're very nice people, but I don't know what they're doing. It's not right.
Like a bear eating salmon. Just...
yeah, I think they did put the carp in fairness, but it was previously in the bath.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Keeping the carp alive in the bath is like smart.
You didn't have to catch it out of the bath. You didn't have to stand in the bath.
You can
like
drain the bath and then you just have a carp that you can pick up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very easy.
The carp is like, I know what this is.
I'm not sure how I would react, right, if I went into a bathroom and there was a carp being like sustained in a bathtub there, because like if nothing else, that carp is going to be witness to some things that no carp should have to see in the course of that.
I don't know. Been to some transgender squats. There are weirder things that they couldn't do in that bathtub.
That is 100%
shouldn't have
true.
To see shower gel, I think.
Mm. No.
It's not natural for a carp. Yeah.
If nothing
gel.
Else, like the nice shower gel. Like if you just hit it with the like basics, like you've run out and you go to Tesco for like some the like whatever the like strawberry flavored like
the original sauce.
Yeah. A carp can comprehend head and shoulders. That's probably fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just if you start hitting the carp with Loxaten, then it starts to freak out.
If you brought a carp into Lush, it would have no way to deal with it.
I mean, I think a carp could understand the concept
no
of
context
a head,
for what it's
but
seen.
Certainly not the concept of shoulders.
That's true.
It goes straight head body for a carp. There's very little knees and toes also would be
body.
Troublesome. Head and body, yeah. A carp would also struggle to understand the concept of a bath. It'd be like
that's true.
That's also true.
Yeah.
In a thousand years' time when the carp have taken over, there's gonna be a carp archaeologist saying, so there are these references, puzzling references to heads, shoulders, knees, and toes. Mm. And we don't know what these were, but they must have had some ritual significance to the people.
And there was some kind of potato man.
Really struck by the word.
Who used to oppress us.
Really struck by the word carp archaeologist.
Yeah.
The carp archaeologist is the guy who like, knows carp art. Interesting carp art.
It's called a valet.
Yeah, that's who found Richard III. Yeah.
Yeah, right, Richard III, where Hitler's bunker was. There's got to be other.
Well, where they found Hitler in the embrace of the German Tato Man, die Kartoffelmann.
Well, he's always in the state.
They never should have unearthed the Kartoffelmann.
Well, I mean, they unearthed the Kartoffelmann, and that was fine. He was in stasis. But the second they let any blood get on him, that was really when that was when it all started to go badly.
Keeping my nation's Kartoffelmann alive in a bathtub.
Yeah, it took an entire Soviet division to subdue him and transport him to a bunker deep in the Ural Mountains. Yeah, they performed a number of experiments on him.
Like a Hellboy level of security for this guy.
He was sent 3 direct hits from a T-35 tank cannon.
Is this about the Kartoffelmann? I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't say the Superman exists and he's American. I said the Kartoffelmann exists and he's German.
Well, he's American now because of Operation Paperclip.
they moved him to Florida. Yeah,
they had to split him in half to create the East German Kartoffelmann.
That's true. And yeah,
imagine Wernher von Braun shocked on being confronted with the Kartoffelmann once again.
You,
I thought you were mashed. They reconstituted me. They made a kind of McCain smiley face out of my innards.
Fucking stupid.
I think we know what the title of the episode is going to be.
The sad thing was after after we finished defending Prague, when they had to wipe the Emmet off of the. off of the Polish Tato man when he was finished defending the Jews of Prague.
The Polish one was doing that in Prague. Just on like on a holiday.
The Polish guy was doing that in Prague, but I don't know.
He found the time to go to the Gambia, I guess. You know, like he's a widely traveled man, you know.
Well, this is where we run into the problem that we've come up with, which is that they very much did not have a nation state. That was sort of the whole thing. So I guess the Israeli potato man is the only thing to go with.
I guess there must be
Dev,
one.
Is
like,
that
they
really
made
the
one?
Only problem that we've come up with?
No, this is it. This is
everything
it.
Everything else I can explain away, but this is the one that is really sticking in my craw.
Yeah. The Israeli potato man who's like really, really into like deep house and like Eurodance.
Deal with a diasporic potato man.
Sure.
All right, so I've been thinking about we were talking about quokkas earlier and about how they're so docile because they have no natural predators, right? I've been thinking about this a little bit recently because I've been paying attention to Tristan albatross, which is a species of albatross. And the problem with them
it
is
sounds like a guy who would be an American politician. Tristan Albatross.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with Tristan Albatross.
Or maybe
Albatross
a Canadian politician. As well. Right.
It sounds like the title of a kind of unreadable sort of midlist commercial literary fiction novel.
Yes, it really
that
does.
Everyone is reading for like a year.
Yeah. I'm also very struck by the way that you described that. You're like, I'm like keeping an eye on Tristan Albatross or whatever. As if every species exists in a kind of like panopticon with you at the center. Where you're just like contemplating. You could be contemplating any one of them at any moment.
That's pretty accurate, really, as an assessment of how I spend my time.
That is how I imagine
I could be contemplating any given bird at any moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the problem with Tristan is that
I'm contemplating a bird.
Nesting island. No natural
Sorry,
predators.
That's just like like overheard at the Eton parents' evening.
Yeah, the issue with Tristan is he's got no natural predators, so he's getting eaten by mice.
Not something you heard eaten, though.
The mice.
No,
but
you won't hear the mice bit. You wouldn't hear
like...
the phrase "he's got no natural predators" at Eton, though.
Oh no,
he's got natural.
He's got some unnatural predators.
The faculty.
Yeah,
but they haven't evolved to have like a threat response to their babies getting eaten by mice. And that includes like the babies don't have a threat response to this. So they'll just sit there perfectly placidly.
Just like, I guess I'll like, see where this goes.
Nibbling them.
Sat there going,
and
ow.
I gotta be honest.
Ow.
Stop. Even if I hadn't met the animal that was eating me, I would probably like try to put a stop to it.
See, what you've done there is you've fucked up evolution. You've given a bird Buddha nature. You've yeah. it's like completely free of all anxiety. It's just chill.
Yeah. It's like whatever, you know, from dust we all came, and dust we shall all return.
Yeah, the philosophical albatross. It's achieved moksha. Like it's free.
That's a fucking Twitter account. The philosophical That's like a guy who replies to every Jeremy Corbyn tweet. Like, what about Brexit, Jeremy? Phoebe, you look like you've transported to another dimension. You're just doing like the most perfect blank stare.
Albatross mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
If he's currently being eaten by mice. That is fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've reached nirvana on that front. on the subject of just being like not being eaten. Mm. I think that would be an undignified way to go. But like a little, like if a mouse like nibbled my foot or something, I think I'd probably let it.
I mean,
yeah, that's my stance with vampire bats. Like, have at it. You know,
you will get rabies from this.
That's fine. I understand that.
I think the thing about being eaten by mice, right, is you'd either need a really big mouse or a lot of mice. Because like I'm thinking about a mouse's like jaw size. I'm thinking
very
about
small.
How many bites you'd need to like actually kill me. Mm. Like, I think it's a few. It's got to be at least a few.
I would prefer one big mouse rather than lots of little mice.
You could pet the like very big mouse, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I stand a chance against one big mouse. Mm. You know, a number of mice.
I walk into the crib. I see you like surrounded by vampire bats, punching one big mouse in the side of the head.
I'm fine with the bats. The bats can have. Huge mouse could fuck off though.
Yeah, you know.
I wonder if I could start a trend for like rabies parties for like anti-vax mothers.
I mean, Just get
a vampire bat. All the kids get bitten. Mm. They don't have to get a vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah. If you get rabies early enough, your body can deal with it.
Exactly.
That's right. That's
what
right.
Getting the fuck out of
suspended for like medical misinformation for the same thing they use against like anti-vax stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's a form of vaxxing. If you get bitten by the vampire bat, you're then immune to the much more powerful venom of the vampire.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's true. Plus, if you get rabies, like you're not going to get COVID. That's a 100% guaranteed anti-COVID measure, right? Mm. You will not die of COVID if you get rabies.
Exactly.
We are going to get the misinformation thing on this.
All right. So I have some theories about the 9/11 attacks.
It's already there.
A lot of theories about that. Yeah.
If you had rabies, you couldn't die on 9/11.
Saudi Tato Man.
Mm.
So.
The Saudi Tato Man, yeah, he's just got a huge sword.
19 Saudi Tato
Man.
It writes itself, I know.
And you go, why did Ground Zero smell like cheese and onion? Why were there clouds of barbecue steak wafting over central Manhattan? No one will answer this.
Why did they find a completely unburnt packet of prawn cocktail?
Why did they find a huge pile of mash inside the crater of Tower 1? Yeah. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams, but burning mashed potato can. Yeah.
Fry oil can't melt steel beams.
Yeah. That would be fun, a 9/11 conducted by Gary Lineker.
Thanks.
Gary and Wayne, one in each plane.
Where was Gary Lineker on 9/11?
What would be their demands, the Lineker brothers?
Moderate centrism.
It was the way you said, what would the Lineker brothers demands be? And then all I could hear was Devin frantically
bringing up the file now. I actually have the manifesto on my hard drive.
I've found the question.
Called Gary Lineker,
where was Gary Lineker on 9/11? An actually like essential question for me now. I need to know the answer. Not because I think he was involved in 9/11, but because I think it contains a kind of deep emotional truth about our country and our ways.
Well, I'm
of
on
being.
His Wikipedia page trying to figure it out right now.
Mm. Weren't
team captain on the sports game show? They think it's all over up to 2003.
Weren't the boy band Blue in New York at the time, and Duncan from Blue got in trouble for saying that 9/11 wasn't as important as what they're doing to whales, as in the animal whales.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yes, but it was Lee.
Oh, was it Lee?
It was not.
The thing is,
it was not Duncan.
He's right. Like, I'll stand by him on that one.
Apologies
actually.
For accusing Duncan. Yeah, to be fair, Lee is the crazier one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan lied about having almost died in 9/11.
Oh.
This is true. Which is crazy because you're already Jackie Chan.
Yeah, but he was like, I was going to be recording like a movie on the Twin Towers as a window cleaner on 9/11, but I had like a thing, so I couldn't do it.
That's kind of like what a movie that would have been, though. Imagine that. Just like Curb Your Enthusiasm style, just improvising around the fact that 9/11 is happening.
Mm. Well, it's like how Wesley Snipes lost his home in 9/11.
It's true. Wesley Snipes' apartment was a 9/11 casualty. We mentioned this on Code Dream.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't in the towers. It was just nearby.
It's got perfectly taken out. Yeah.
Just got destroyed.
That is pretty crazy.
You'd be so upset. Actually, I'm not going to rehash. I think we've done all of his bits. You'd be so fucking upset if you like tangentially lost like a fair amount of your stuff on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
But like you weren't like in the towers, you can't really complain about it.
Yeah, Lee from Blue got like sort of shouted down by his bandmates for saying that like what happened on 9/11 in the towers was nothing compared to what happened to Wesley Snipes' apartment.
Yeah, that's right. I'm still kind of hung up on Jackie Chan doing the reverse Wahlberg of basically saying I was there and it didn't go down differently. I didn't do anything.
If I had been there, it would have been the same.
If I had been there, I'd have actively encouraged it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the 20. That's the political compass.
Like, let's go.
Political compass, right? Where if Wahlberg is like, I wasn't there, but it would have been different if I were, then the 20th hijacker is, I wasn't there, and it would have been different if I were. And the other way, you know, would have been better.
I really respect the theoretical place that we're eking out here, where I was at 9/11 and it did turn out different. It would have been worse if I wasn't there.
The firefighters? I guess
that is Steve Buscemi is one of the only people who can say that he was there and it would have been worse.
Actually, as the plane crashed into the building, I headbutted the nose of the plane. Which
I actually removed a great deal of momentum from
it. Deferred a great amount of the force.
One flat-nosed geezer acting as a kind of ablative, like, shield for the, like, Canada Fitzgerald officers. R.I.P., by the way. I read a really long piece about his wake.
Yes,
which happened, like,
not too
long ago, and like fantastic vibes there to go to the blind beggar and have a bunch of like gangsters waking you.
That used to be the local Trash Future pub. We used to drink there quite a bit.
We should have dispatched like a report of squad.
The TF outside broadcast fan can't come soon enough for exactly this reason. I did hear in the course of this write up that his widow played a surprisingly tasteful drum and bass set.
It was Speed Garage. That was the best line in the article. A surprisingly tasteful Speed Garage set.
Was it Speed Garage?
It was Speed Garage and something else, but I don't think the something else was drum and bass. It was like, like tech house or something.
Shout out to his family.
The Courtney lot, they all love Garage. Whenever he has one of his parties at Camelot, it's always like loads of like Garage stuff on the playlist.
Incredible. We will not see his life again.
It's the specification of the tasteful. It's the specification. Yeah. Surprisingly tasteful as well.
Yeah. You're like, this Garage set could have been quite bad, but actually,
it's a respectful
vibe.
She's playing Artful Dodger, sweet female attitude. She's not resorting to stuff like Oxide and Neutrino. Like, you don't really want that awake.
She's got the Garage remix of Stop All the Clocks. That's there. That's on there.
This one goes out to all his hard nosed geezers.
The day he now will never be able to rewind.
Yeah.
God fucking damn it.
Yeah. It's just doing them.
So frequently I find myself like creating content and being halfway through and going, fuck, I hope this is funny to like one other person. I really hope there's anyone else who thinks this is good.
That the two-step comes back in. Beautiful.
Surprisingly tasty, remarkable. Not a dry eye in the house at the end of the.
I'm trying to think here how, of all the genres of music possible, how they map onto Wake, right? And I'm thinking that the worst Wake you could have is the ska Wake. Yeah. I don't think that's a good time, you know?
Yes, no, I'm completely with you. I was thinking Electro Swing maybe, but like, Electro if you're Swing, playing Electro Swing at the Wake, they're going to be into it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But like the ska Wake, that's a different and I think worse vibe, you know?
I think the acid jazz and dubstep Wake is the worst vibe.
Deep house Wake.
Deep house wake.
Dubstep Wake has got to be the worst.
Dubstep wake has got to be the worst.
Yeah. Oh.
Played a surprisingly tasteful dubstep set.
Surprisingly tasteful cover of We Will Bondem from the soundtrack of Far Cry 3.
The thing about dubstep is you can't even do like funny dubstep references or whatever because who remembers anything about it other than like
me and Devin apparently.
All I remember is the one from Far Cry 3. That's it.
Yeah. That was Skrillex.
Where you're burning. It was Skrillex. Yeah. You've got a flamethrower. You're burning a marijuana plantation. Mm-hmm. You know. It did make sense actually as a soundtrack. I won't complain
would
about
we,
it.
Would we say it was surprisingly tasteful?
Yeah.
No.
Can you still
tasteful eludes it? I think.
Can you still listen to Borgore? Is that BDS now? I'm pretty sure
BTS.
Ready.
The BTS Wake.
The BTS Wake. The BTS Wake could be fine.
Yeah. Mm. There's something quite spiritually Israeli about dubstep, I feel. It feels as though if you wanted to listen to dubstep, that would be a good place to go.
I don't know. Of the kind of more Israeli aligned genres of music, I'm not thinking of dubstep. Dubstep seems like American to me, you know?
But yeah, Dave Courtney, incredible. Juliet Jakes, actually, because I was tweeting about the Dave Courtney Wake article. Replied to me and said that a friend of hers booked Dave Courtney years ago to be on like a literary panel, like discussing a book, because she thought it would be funny because he would just like kind of he would jazz things up by offering some like very different opinions on stuff. And apparently the opposite occurred because everyone was too scared of Dave Courtney to disagree with him. And apparently at some point, one of the other panelists, like some academic, was like complaining about their rent. And Dave Courtney stopped the panel to offer to sort their landlord out. So
he was a real man. Yeah. He deserved that BTS Wake for being, if nothing else, the like sort of governor of the like hay on white literary festival.
I actually love K-pop.
Stan Luna, things of this nature.
Yeah. It turned out that he actually didn't know how to read like at all, but no one had the heart to tell him. So when he was doing the reading from his book, it was this sort of proto-Aramaic language that he ended up speaking, and everyone was just like, I don't know what he's
Dave
saying.
Dave Courtney speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Dave Courtney actually is the Messiah. He died for our sins.
Messianic age is over. He's gone.
Been thinking a lot about speaking in tongues because of Kate Forbes running for first minister up here. And someone replied to me on Twitter, because like apparently this is a really common like thing in evangelical strains of Christianity. Even like the Church of England, like, the Archbishop of Canterbury speaks in tongues, apparently. And someone replied to me to be like, yeah, my parents went to an evangelical church and, you know, they walked in and a guy came up to my dad looking perfectly friendly saying, and we just left.
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, no, we went to one of those Dutch Episcopalian churches again.
Also, that was my like extemporaneous attempt at speaking in tongues there. Not thrilled to learn that that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, real like Tasmanian devil type affect you pulled up there.
Wow. It was truly like automatic writers went to the first days, made a noise.
The Tasmanian devil was colonized by the Dutch, yeah. Which is why it talks
like
that.
That's what God sounds like. That's what God sounds like, apparently, is the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah. Because God's always spinning on his ass.
I'm still stuck on the Archbishop of Canterbury speaks in tongues.
Yeah, like, just what, a Welby.
Is it just that he has the capacity, but it's like kind of passing your driving test in London? Like you just don't, you've done it, but you don't use it.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, you've done it. You did it like when you were like 18, but like you have no reason.
Well, this is
Justin Welby.
Probably about right.
He apparently does it every day because like this is a thing, right? It's something that evangelicals try and be.
He does it every day.
Just sitting down like that.
It's like an owl with a crown of thorns that like pops up saying you haven't done your tongues today.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I imagine he has like a prescribed time to do it or something, but like, this is something that evangelicals try and be a bit circumspect about because they know how weird it sounds, but he is one and he does do this. Like, it's like well attested that he does this. So
that's crazy.
At the same time, they started bringing in like the Alpha Course and all of that stuff. Was the Church of England had this like huge influx of evangelicals who made it much weirder in a lot of ways.
That's great.
Yeah,
I mean, like the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Marjorie Taylor Greene is also
that different one.
We believe has also spoken in tongues.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is not right. It's Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah,
Amy Coney Barrett.
I would pay money to watch Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking in tongues, I think.
I don't even take that back. Yeah. I think she has.
Have you seen Marjorie Taylor Greene's pull-ups? Right, this I know this is a weird thing.
She does those stupid CrossFit pull-ups
that make you look like a panicking fish.
Yes.
She's kipping.
She's the carp.
Yeah,
she's
kipping.
Being kept alive in the nation's bathtub.
Yeah.
But well, like, yeah, she posts all these videos of herself exercising. And I'm not an exercise person.
If you unplug Taylor Greene's filtration system, she will die instantly.
Yeah. She doesn't know head and shoulders.
The pull-ups, not good.
I've invented a new form of CrossFit based around the Arbro Smokey.
Is that your impression of Marjorie Taylor Greene?
That's what she sounds like. You said nothing. You should hear what she's speaking.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've never spoken tongues. I imagine it might be quite inconvenient if you're trying to direct a taxi driver, for example.
To be fair, I don't think it is inconvenient. I think the point of it is to be quite easy, as proven by Nova effortlessly swinging into Taz, the Tasmanian devil, earlier. Clearly with no effort. You know?
Imagine if you could only speak in tongues.
I'll say that Justin Welby has. I guarantee Justin Welby has not ended one of these by going.
I think that is what sets him apart. Yeah. the kind of the is like the Tasmanian devil's equivalent of Amen. You know, like it just a nice break just ends the thing.
And also you know? With you, yeah.
Verbiscum, yeah.
Well, since the Tasmanian devil, beatboxing is sacred to them. They invented it. Beardy man lived in the Tasmanian bush for years.
Beatboxing way. That's the problem.
Surprisingly tasteful beatboxing way.
Surprisingly tasteful beatboxing set at the wake. I can see it.
From dust we all come. And to dust we shall return. The beatboxing priest is such a believer. And that would definitely be British. That would be like a Church of England vicar.
That's a vicar, It
would be 100%. Like a BBC Look East like segment on like, and this local vicar is jazzing up his sermons with the art of beatboxing. And then it cuts to like the church hall. He's beatboxing for the most confused looking pensioners in the world. That cuts into it. And he's like, well, I just think the church needs to modernize. And if we can do that through beatboxing, then why not spread the name of Jesus that way?
That's going to be the next split in the church. It's going to be the split between the beatboxing exorcists and the dubstep exorcists.
Yes. Dubstep does sound like it's coming from hell.
As soon as the Pope finally pulls his fucking finger out, does Vatican III, and has a concrete stance on dubstep and beatboxing, there's always going to be these little disagreements.
Yeah.
Vatican III.
Yeah, it's like the Vatican, but on the block.
Vatican III. When the woke Pope does Vatican III,
Vatican III.
So you Vatican II was the Avignon Popes, and now we're like waiting for them to establish Vatican III.
No, Vatican II
was... Yeah, whatever Vatican III is.
Vatican II was when they decided that the church could be a bit more woke, and Vatican III is... It was like 60-something. Okay. Vatican III is when they're going to decide it's going to be like maximally woke, you know?
Vatican III is when you leave the door open hoping that the Vatican III shows up this year.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yes.
It's not just that...
You know what? I realize I've exhausted my knowledge on the subject.
It's not just the Vatican that does exorcisms. The Church of England also still do exorcisms.
Yeah, Justin Welby bangs one out every day before speaking in tongues, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's part of his, like, it's part of his kind of daily schedule. He's got a set structure.
Mm,
like, he's got a script for his exorcisms.
It's very, like, inbox zero as Justin Welby.
If you want a custom exorcism of Justin Welby, then you are going to be paying a lot of money for that.
Justin Welby's Kanban board for, like, doing exorcisms and speaking in tongues and stuff.
Either the Anglican Church still do exorcisms, or it just so happened that I once met what amounts to a rogue priest.
Oh, you'd love to meet a rogue priest, is
a
the thing.
Priest Ronin.
Yeah, exactly. He's sort of roaming the countryside.
Sort of wandering vicar.
With kind of, with like sort of two cross rifles over his shoulders.
Yeah, Dawn French is like, I'm the vicar of nowhere now.
Yeah, he's played by Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany, the vicar of nowhere.
Mm. Okay, wait, now hang on.
It exists copyright, in the Vicar copyright. Of Di- it exists in the Diddlyverse, is the thing.
Yeah.
First Reformed exists in the Diddlyverse.
First Reformed does not exist in the Diddlyverse.
It does. Of course it does. Off screen in First Reformed, there's also like a sort of new vicar in the like small town of Diddley who's gonna have to like shake up some things.
Dev, have you never seen the kind of the road sort of style apocalyptic section of the Diddlyverse? It's horrifying.
I guess not. Well, I'm very excited in getting I've read a lot of Diddlyverse fanfic.
We're gonna have to eat one of the parishioners.
Sort of areas.
Sisters of Diddly.
Yeah.
Now my question is the Diddlyverse coterminous with the Father Tedverse?
Ooh.
I think so.
One split from the other.
Mm,
one was
on
invented
a
by Mark.
Step,
on a dubstep
beatboxing
on the dubstep, like seams of discontent.
Yeah.
Martin Luther invented the Vicar of Diddley.
Just writing all this shit down, and then Dawn French.
Beatboxing was actually invented first as like a Lutheran thing to sort of like emulate the sound of Martin Luther nailing that thing to the door.
That's so smart. Yeah. He had a weird nailing technique though, which leads to...
Well, it's kind of like a first draft
use a
thing.
Hammer.
You know,
one of the key things about Martin Luther.
Yeah, Martin Luther nailed a document to the church door that said, "What if the vicar was a woman?" And people were like, "What's a vicar?" Then he had to go back and write all that other stuff just to get to the point of people understanding what a vicar was.
I had to do like 95 of these things in total. Like, it's crazy.
You try explaining Dawn French from First Principles to your average, like, 18th century peasant.
Yeah.
Dawn French would kill the average 18th century peasant.
That's not the right fucking century, even slightly.
I mean, an 18th century peasant would still not handle Dawn French well. I'd be fully honest. Like, their knowledge of French and Saunders... very, very limited, you know?
Yeah, well, they had more of an understanding of Jennifer
Saunders.
Saunders
was the funnier one. Yeah, I always thought Jennifer Saunders was funnier, but, you know, what can you do? Mm.
Yeah, I mean...
It'd be inappropriate to speculate.
Well, an 18th century peasant would see Dawn French as the enemy, automatically.
Yeah.
As the adversary.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the other thing about sort of medieval Germans, is they fucking hated Sally Phillips. For no real reason, either.
Just took against her, yeah.
Yeah. They just They really hated that role she had as the hotel receptionist in I'm Alan Partridge season one, and they just never really moved past it.
That's how it is sometimes. Sometimes you just watch TV and you just decide that you just don't like someone, you know? Fred Armisen, that's mine, you know, like the average 21st century me would not tolerate Fred Armisen.
Mm. Okay, interesting.
Not a fan of the guy.
It's a kind of autoimmune condition, Armisen intolerance. Mm. Like, there's no cure for it.
No, I mean I've been sort of like, you know, fighting off these vampire bats as well, but
Yeah. I don't know. There's got to be some actors that I really irrationally dislike.
Yeah, must be. I mean, the other fun thing is that when you take against someone and then it's like justified, like later on, retrospectively, by something you didn't know about, but you can be smug about, like the allegations get them.
Oh, right? Yeah, like Mumford and Sons.
Armisen didn't do anything on 9/11. He could have prevented it, and he didn't.
It's true.
He could have done, yeah.
He could have made it much worse as well. Maybe his not doing anything was like a principled stance.
He's kind of like Uatu the Watcher in a lot of ways.
The 20th Hijacker was Armisen doing one of his offensive accents.
Yeah, he got stopped at security for getting too racist with it, and they just had to go on with 19 other.
This guy is just like fully white. Why does he always get cast to do these kind of comedy foreign accents?
Right.
Sorry, you're not allowed to go to 9/11, Fred. What? Your accents.
But why are you in blackface? Because I'm playing a Dutch guy. Very simple.
That's actually a really good defense for blackface, and I don't understand why more people don't employ it.
I'm not
insulting black people, I'm insulting the Dutch.
Then
in which case, please do go ahead.
This is sort of satirical blackface, actually.
It's irony.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is what you this look is, like this when is, you
this
do
is
blackface.
This is Baudrillard blackface.
the Dutch saying that it's actually very offensive to them when you do blackface because you're mocking their culture.
So yeah, sure hope it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Meanwhile, someone in the Indonesian tourism ministry is like, fucking get their ass.
Yeah, that's right. It was actually a long and concerted campaign by the Dutch that got the man removed off the Robertson's Jam.
For the literal opposite reason.
You know that they had a balloon, right? They had like the Robertson's, oh. The Robinson's oh. Raisin
who's
Jam.
Who's they, Nova?
The Robinson's like jam and marmalade company, I think, operated like a gollywog balloon, like a hot air balloon.
Yeah. And the registration number was like golly.
Yes, it was. I think about this fact every so often and it makes me feel completely insane. You can see photos of it like looming above like English market towns and stuff. And you're like, oh, okay. This country is like briefly haunted by a kind of racist balloon. imagine being like a person of color and you see this like over the horizon. That's not even
right? Sorry, I've just googled gollywog balloon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. For some reason I thought it was just gonna be the head, but that is just a full-on gollywog
the thing hoves into view. That's not a microaggression. That's not even a macroaggression. That's like a super aggression.
This is like a mega aggression.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this right now, please Google gollywog balloon.
Not on
if
a you're work. Driving
yeah, at work, no, you know, over, at just... work. Yeah.
This is the spectre haunting Europe. That's what. This yeah. Yeah,
at least
is.
England, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, this thing hanging in the sky.
And like, because a hot air balloon, you can't get rid of it in a hurry. It moves very slowly. Like, it's just up there for a long time.
Quite a kind of cheeky expression as well, which I think is adding insult to injury.
Have I told you guys that I recently, while driving across rural Australia between two shows, we decided to go to the Ned Kelly Museum in Glen Rowan in like northern Victoria.
Hell yeah.
The guy who ran the museum, very eccentric guy. A lot of stuff in the museum was sort of like Ned Kelly adjacent memorabilia. A lot of other stuff was like stuff from the time, which I guess at least illustrates like what life might have been like. Like kind of hypothesizing his sort of stuff Ned Kelly might have owned, kind of shit that most people had. And then there was other stuff which was not related to Ned Kelly in any way, but was just like, and here's some other stuff that I like. such as he had two like 80-year-old cockatoos that just screamed and threatened you the whole time you were near them.
Cool.
And
Spirit of Ned Kelly. He and his brother are reincarnated in those things.
Yeah, yeah. they said two things, which were screaming and hello cocky. And this would often produce nice. like really hilarious sentences. Like they would just both be screaming at each other for like, hello cocky. And just be like, just like sudden. Yeah. And then the other unrelated thing in the museum was a whole corner that was just full of gollywogs. And I noticed there was like an explanatory sign on the gollywogs, and I went over there and it did a lot of explaining as to what gollywogs were and what the origin of them was. But I tell you what, didn't explain why they were in the museum.
just like check this shit out.
This is just something else we've got. Yeah.
And you know, the pièce de résistance of this is these were new. These were like some made in China gollywogs. Like they weren't like antique in any way. That was like this guy went out of his way to like, you know.
This is a recent purchase.
These are freshly purchased gollywogs.
Imagine working in the factory. Imagine working in that factory. Like, what do you think you're like doing all day? It's just like,
these are farm fresh. These are organic. This is farm to table gollywog.
These are free range gollywogs. This okay, from listen. The hot air balloon. They made the hot air balloon into a little guy
around the world in 80 days in the gollywog air balloon.
You've only seen the balloon. You're from the balloon.
just like the rest of the crew saying, like, you did not clear this balloon with us before we set off on this expedition. We did not sign off on this balloon.
Would you like to travel around the world with me in 80 days in a balloon of some description?
Yes, I will.
Fast-forward being like, listen, man, I'm all about this. Like, I'm aligned with the vision of the 80 days thing. Fantastic idea. What is going on with the balloon?
Why, I will certainly arrange you a balloon for your venture, your wager to trip around the world in just 80 days. But there's one condition. Dirigible at my disposal, sir.
why are you doing that in your Operation Paperclip scientist voice?
We've only got the one balloon left in stock, I'm afraid.
This was the only Nazi scientist Britain imported, as opposed to America, is the guy who did racist balloons.
There's an entire. There's an entire.
It might be useful for something. I don't know.
There's an entire Lost Bond film. Where, like, when he's being shown his gadgets, they're all just gollywog themed. And he's like, are you sure we don't have any other themes?
I might
available?
Even have a related comment drop on that. At this point.
But like, this is just a balloon that inflates in the shape of a swastika.
Cockney Q from Never Say Never Again, I think, would have.
And our only various... lead committed suicide on that balloon.
Fuck, you're
no
so
way!
Right! There is a balloon!
Amazing.
The world is not enough. Has a balloon.
I knew exactly.
It's non-racist, as far as I know.
Imagine if the Hindenburg had that kind of decoration.
I mean, it was a it had a swastika on it. That's pretty fucking racist. Like,
yeah, well, that's completely normal airship.
Mr. Bond, it was a different time. It was a different time, Mr. Bond.
Doing woke Hindenburg stuff and being like racist airship explodes. Would you be wrong? Would you be wrong to say woke airship full of Nazis explodes?
Woke airship full of Nazis.
I mean, I guess I hadn't considered that they were all Nazis.
It's got a fucking swastika on it.
They had it like they only had swastikas on the one side when it was like in the sky above like an American city. They just had it like facing away from the city.
Hindu airship
like, both
explodes.
Sides, it's bilateral. Yeah. Don't worry. Both sides look the same.
So you can only see it from like one side. We're just like, oh, look at that. It's a fucking, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like covered in swastikas on the other side. They're like, it's symmetrical. Yeah. Don't worry. You don't need to see the other side.
On one side, it's just like SpongeBob. And on the other side,
you've seen one side.
The thing is, right, new belief. Every Goodyear blimp, the side you're not seeing, rancid with swastikas. Every single.
The top of every Goodyear blimp is coated in like Nazi imagery. Yeah,
the blimp in and of itself a Nazi method of transportation, and as such, every blimp you see, the off side of it covered in Nazi.
Legally, we cannot say that.
If you see it from the top,
it's covered in swastikas.
Legally,
I will put my name to this.
If you see the Goodyear blimp from the top, it looks like an eagle kind of spreading its wings.
Yeah. I can allege that the Goodyear blimp has swastikas.
Yeah, like it's kind of a philosophical quandary. Because it's always the side you're not looking at, but that side is like hurriedly painted like Nazi style.
Yeah. It's like the tanks in 40K. They don't, they're doing all these things. They don't realize you don't have to have swastikas on it for it to be able to fly. They just know that like everyone has had.
The Tristan albatross should be the national bird of Switzerland because they have no natural predators. I mean, like, imagine if someone did invade Switzerland and they're just like, they're just trying to get stones out of their shoes for them and stuff. Like, they're just like really confused as to what to do.
Yeah.
There's no proof that the racist imagery is not sort of part of the successful air.
Exactly.
Air journeys. Like, presumably it's a kind of correlation,
same principle
situation.
Of cancer users.
But we don't know and it's not worth the risk.
Yeah, we don't have enough resources to try flying one without a swastika on it.
If you fly Lufthansa, are you going out like walking around the whole plane? Of course you're not.
No.
Yeah. That's something that passes. Yeah,
it's every Lufthansa plane as well.
That would be funny if this was like just a little secret of the aviation industry that just like every plane has like a tiny swastika on it. Like it's not, you'd have to really be looking for it, but it's also vital to the same.
Oh, yeah. That's we hate doing
the swastika on the side.
That's what's been happening.
They're killing all these whistleblowers. They're trying to tell them about the swastika.
It's like a little kind of like a carrot mark. Like if you have one of these planes on Antiques Roadshow, then that's what they're going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for the tiny swastika under the wing.
You can tell this is an Airbus A380.
Like any given map. How many Yemens there are, how many Germanys, you can get pretty close. And the same, you can date any plane by like the size and position of the swastika on the livery.
This is actually a Wedgwood swastika, so this is very exciting. We don't see very many.
These are the only planes that they made that had a backward swastika. It's like a print error. Yeah. It's really interesting stuff.
Yes, it was this short line of planes manufactured in India. Now, as you can see, this plane is of genuine Nazi manufacture, but you can see by the mark here, just by the little AR underneath there, this was actually from the Nazi factory in Argentina. Yes, it's a slightly later reproduction, but made by the same people.
Because they do all their swastikas in like light blue, you know.
The duck egg swastika. Mm-hmm. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lads, I have to go.
let's bring this to a satisfying conclusion. I think.
I hesitate to leave it there, but this is actually the
simply maths.
Yeah, there will be a time.
Having given them some real knowledge, you know.
Yeah, on information and belief, everything we've said has been true, and I won't be checking any DMs.
Oh, yeah, that's so right.
There will be a tiny swastika on the episode art for this episode. You can just to make sure that it's a success.
Just like you'll have to really zoom in.
It's 3 pixels. Yeah,
that's right. It's not even really big. It's like the shape of a Tetris block. That's how low res it is. You can't really
the swastika Tetris block.
No, that would be a hard game of Tetris. Fair play to you if you can successfully do that. They don't really tessellate very well. So it remains for us to thank Nova and Devon.
Hey, it's me, Alan. How you doing?
I almost gave November's current name and her former name together.
I love to fuck up not just my name for other people, but like other people's names.
Yeah.
That's
how you assert dominance.
That's right.
If you don't know who I am, you don't get to find out.
That's right. Yeah. Is there anything you would like
Kill
to
James
plug?
Bond, yes. Scrunch. Yeah, Kill James Bond is a great podcast and you can listen to it anywhere.
Sure, you can.
The Scrunch is interesting and you can only listen to it at specific places. I won't be helping you find them.
Scrunch?
Scrunch.
That's right. Scrunch. Traditional Scrunch.
Yeah, you heard.
To give you a...
Traditional Scrunch.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Traditional Scrunch.
Traditional Scrunch.
I as soon as we decided we were going to go with that name, I realized that I have a long future ahead of me explaining it, and I've decided that I'm not going to at any point. Like, I'm just blanket, not going to...
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's a Twitch stream. You can watch it with your eyes.
Ah, it's that. Okay.
It's really good, actually.
Yeah, check that out. Check out Cool James Bond. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this, thank you very much for being a $10 plus subscriber. You're the best. You are our most effective listeners. You're our listeners who have a tiny little swastika tattooed on them somewhere. Invisible, like the Gooch. Such that it will never offend anyone, but it does just make you that little bit better than the other Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, and I co-signed that.
Yeah. Let the record show that Phoebe sighed.
Yeah.
There's a sigh from Phoebe.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, see ya.